Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I'd like to say a few words. I don't think, not so much about technique, but just about consciousness.
What is the difference between a devotee who can distribute many books and a devotee
who is simply struggling, standing out there, wondering, what is going on here? What am I doing here? What are all these people doing here? How to stop them? So, of course, Sankirtan, sometimes, most of the time, we try to encourage the devotees by explaining how Sankirtan is to save the fallen soul. But as Prabhupada wrote in one letter, he said that generally, those who are a little pious, they try and help people with some welfare work, such as the Red Cross or the Salvation Army. But we should also understand that this is some progression towards Krishna consciousness. But even better than that is to give people transcendental knowledge. Because people are suffering due to the fact that they've forgotten the fact that they're spiritual. And therefore all their anxieties are all concerning this material body, which they're not. Therefore, to give people transcendental knowledge means to relieve them from their misery. But even higher than that, Prabhupada wrote, the highest of them all is to save oneself. So principally, we're all crazy, some more crazy, some less crazy. But we also can be considered amongst those who are patients, but at least we're trying to become cured of our insanity, of misidentifying ourselves with this body, and thinking that to gratify my senses is actually the goal of my life. That if every day my senses feel satisfied, then I'm also, that's very nice. So because we have a tongue, etc., especially the tongue, as it says, is very voracious to control, therefore the tongue has a tendency to vibrate. And when it's not vibrating, it likes to do service to the stomach by filling it up. And then, of course, after a while, the stomach gets full, then we start thinking about other things. So, the Sankirtan movement, primarily we can occupy the tongue all day long in something in relationship to Krishna. And also, one, it's good exercise, so that one can run around, use up some of the energy he obtained from eating. But more than that, than simply utilizing the senses, it's also as a way of becoming free from our misconceptions about what reality is. Because, primarily, due to our vision of reality, we see others as being their bodies, and therefore we're a little fearful, generally, of others. Certain bodies we think are nice, other bodies are not so nice. If a body comes in the form of a female and she's attractive, we think, oh, there's no danger. Although for a trained yogi, he thinks, oh, this is death personified. But because we're sometimes not so trained, we think, oh, there's no danger. It's like sometimes we can see when the ladies are distributing that the men who are, they have no time in a great rush. Suddenly when one of the ladies approached them, they seem to melt. They become like little children. Completely submissive. Although, what's that? Therefore, one has to train one's vision. And how is that training? It's a practical training. We suffer most from lack of confidence and enthusiasm and patience. These are disease. We can say that enthusiasm, that's the bliss potency of Krishna. And confidence is the knowledge potency of Krishna. And patience is the eternal potency of Krishna. Satchit and Ananda. These are the three things that we lack in material existence. Instead of being blissful, we're miserable. And why are we miserable? Mostly because we're servants of the mind. The mind says, why are you out here your body does not feel so comfortable. These people are not so nice. They're not giving you hardly any money anyhow. There wasn't enough to eat today. It's cold out. It's too warm here. So immediately we think, oh yeah, wow, what a drag. What am I out here for? My mind, even though not my mind, it makes a lot of sense. Because I think, oh, look at that. He's getting a donation. He's getting all this money, this other devotee. He's blissful, and I'm miserable. That's because I'm just not talented. You know, he has some sales technique that he's bigger than I am. Karmis are afraid of him, that's why he's big. He has more experience. And I'm just standing here suffering. Why should I suffer? Maybe I should do something else. Maybe I should go in the van and read. I'm a little hungry anyhow. I've been working too hard out here. So many things will come through our mind, and because we misidentify ourselves with the mind, therefore we don't think of Krishna, and we stand there miserably. And as far as confidence goes, we're not really so sure if Krishna is really God. I mean, we accept the theory, but as far as the practical aspect of being standing out here risking my life to distribute these books, my ego, everything else, I'm getting older, my youth is going away, and I'm simply standing here watching these people run by. So one may start thinking that, what am I doing here for? What is this all about? And what to speak of patience, the eternal factor, because as Prabhupada once said to that Reuben on the park bench, only time separates me from many buildings, many temples, many farms, many devotees. Only time is separating. So similarly, one should think like that. It's simply time is separating me from learning the art of book distribution, learning the art of becoming a first-class devotee or a second-class devotee. So with the proper consciousness, realizing that, you know, what better thing do we have to do? Even if we're not expert, or even if we are expert, because I don't think anyone amongst us here, we're not standing out all day long just handing out the book. Even if we can do 30 books in 8 hours or 10 hours, it's like 3 books an hour or something. It's not like we're just standing out there handing out thousands of books or hundreds of books. So these things apply to all of us, that one has to be a little patient. It's not that everyone is always so receptive. It's not that we're always necessarily on a very steady platform of consciousness where everything is going all right, the people are just lining up, they're taking planes in to buy books from us. That it's a service where one has to be patient. But on the other hand, it's the very essence of our Krishna consciousness movement. You give this knowledge to others. But after realizing even one becomes a first-class devotee, he's actually in the spiritual world, what does he do? He serves Krishna. It's not that he retires and sits there in ecstasy. That is a class of men who do that, the Vajranandis. Well, that is not our leader. Srila Prabhupada was not a Vajranandi. And therefore, if we want to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, it won't be through the process of bhajan, simply bhajan, becoming a bhajanandi. Prabhupada was a ghosthananandi. Therefore, our movement is based primarily upon preaching. Not only preaching, of course, preaching to ourselves also. Preaching to ourselves, that's primarily what we have to do on Sankirtan. That's the major engagement. It's just preaching to ourselves. And then applying that knowledge that we receive from the other devotees, applying it to ourselves, and then trying to apply it to others. So of all those three things, we have to try to improve every day, and at least one of them, if not all three of them. Of course, being patient doesn't mean to stand there on Sankirtan like a bump on a log. His patience means that one has to constantly be using his intelligence to understand what is the situation and then act with some conviction. I was saying the other day, yesterday when I was out there, go, excuse me, sir. If you too, then people don't take you seriously. You go, sir, excuse me. If you act very, not too, you have to give the right sound vibration. Enough authority, but not overbearing on people. Just the right authority. If one is too meek, then people don't take you seriously. If you're too heavy, then people become disturbed. So one has to practice how the right sound vibration, which means that one actually has to be convinced that what we're doing is beneficial for others. That we're not just handing them some book with some Sanskrit that they won't be able to read. If that's our thinking, that, you know, I'm just out here because my temple president, he needs the money, because we're, otherwise they'll turn the gas off and we'll all freeze. If we're thinking like that, it's just to fill my stomach, that's why I'm selling these books and keep warm. And of course we'll think, why should I rip these people off? Give them some ancient Hindu book. You know, only God knows what it means. Because these people are not intelligent enough to know what it means. If we start speculating that these books are something for another time or for a different type of people, if we start seeing things in a material way, then of course we'll be very reluctant to give these people books because we'll think they're actually not Krishna servants. If we appreciate, if we're convinced that each one of these people, they have an eternal relationship with Krishna, and if they try, they'll make progress towards that relationship. Or at least, I can immediately engage them by giving them one of these books. And if they give their donation, then their actual progress towards back to the spiritual world is begun. If we're convinced like that, that the only thing this Prabhupada once said is legal is that they take a book. And we're determined like that to use our intelligence and become fearless. That is the real quality. Fearless, but not foolish. To be fearless, not to worry about the police out there. Maybe they'll arrest me because I'm too aggressive, or some person will come up and hit me because they don't like what I'm doing out here. So let me act like I'm not really here. And not really be there. No, if we're fearless, that I'm Krishna's servant, if I have to, then I'll leave my body here, but I'll serve Krishna fearlessly. But not foolishly, we should use our intelligence and try to learn the art of doing it so that it's as least agitating to others and to myself as possible. So we become expert so that we're fearless and intelligent and at the same time confident that we're actually making progress. So if we become understand this philosophy, then we'll become fearless. We'll also become, if we're enthusiastic, then we'll become fearless. And gradually one will see that actually if we act in Krishna consciousness means just the conception of what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance. Conception that he's in every atom there, he's in everyone's heart. Then we'll see that people are actually looking for some authority to follow. But not just any authority, because they already have so many authorities. Some authority who actually is Krishna conscious. People are actually looking for someone who actually knows what's going on, and at the same time is free from anxiety. And it's detached. So if we're detached from the results, if we understand that the results are going to Krishna, Krishna will provide us with everything we need. As we see, just like we went shopping today, it wasn't that generally the devotees, they can buy the first class things, first class clothes, to get first class food, not necessarily first class cars, but somehow or another get out there. But everything we actually need is being provided by this Sankirtan movement, and at the same time we're giving people first class knowledge in the form of these books. But we have to become first class, we have to become convinced, and we have to be prepared to make some sacrifices. It doesn't mean to wear the body down to a pulp. That's not what it means. Because actually we're not breaking bricks out there by handing out these books, nor in this particular time the devotees are carrying on huge boxes, huge book bags. Actually it's not such a physically exhausting service. We're practically speaking, standing there, doing a little walking here and there. But mostly the question is to use our intelligence to see things spiritually and then to try and act according to that vision and to try and check if the vibration that I'm producing is actually producing results or not. If it's practical. If what I'm doing actually is producing results. If I'm not wasting time. Just like you say, excuse me, sir, and the person walks by, for my sense of ego, am I saying something more unnecessary to them just to satisfy my own ego? Am I making moves towards them or away from them just to satisfy my ego? Or am I actually out here looking for persons to actually take these books and be benefited by them? Am I actually out here trying to perform the mission that Srila Prabhupada has given to this movement to help people become Krishna conscious? So the more we actually become serious, as Prabhupada wrote to me, the more you become serious to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more Krishna will bestow all blessings upon you. The Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So that's the main thing, is to become serious and to develop, have the proper vision. Because Krishna, he's actually sending these people when we're taking books. It's not by accident. It's because we want to distribute the book, and therefore Krishna is reciprocating and sending people. And Krishna is telling us the right things to say, how much money to ask for, if we really want to do it properly. And the more we do that, the more we act according to our own capacity and not being envious of others. The main thing is envy. Envy of, especially the main impediment in doing nicely on Sankirtan is being envious of the other Sankirtan devotees. Because we're envious, therefore we don't follow their example. And because we don't follow their example, therefore we don't really learn the art of book distribution. We think, oh, this is all, this is for... We have our misconceptions sometimes also. That, oh, look at that, he's getting some money, he's just so heavy on this poor karmi, this poor innocent karmi. Doesn't even know what's in the book, and he's forcing to give some money for it. This is too heavy. I can't be like that. I was never a salesman. I was never so heavy. I want to be nice to these people, these poor, suffering karmi. So due to our false ego, therefore we have a whole other conception, or misconception. Of course, it's not the devotees we should try and imitate the other devotees, but we should try to see things both on the absolute level, try to understand things in relationship to Krishna consciousness, and try and utilize our own natural talents, but with some, the proper conviction, the proper enthusiasm, not fanaticism, not simply blind conviction, blind fanatic, and at the same time we have to be a little patient. That everyone, we should all act according to our capacity. We shouldn't be thinking that I have to be someone else or I have to get someone else's results. That everyone's playing their part ultimately to satisfy Krishna. We're not doing this to satisfy ourselves, to satisfy our egos. We're doing it to serve Krishna, to please him. And if someone else is pleasing Krishna, that's very nice. They're doing part of my work too. Everyone's doing the same at work to please Krishna. And we're trying to save the society trying to become instruments so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada could actually save the society using us as instruments so that people could be benefited. We want to see each person have the opportunity to revive their relationship with Krishna. In the spiritual world, our main happiness is not our relationship with Krishna, it's others' relationship with Krishna. Appreciating others' relationship. How Mother Jasoda is loving Krishna, how Srimati Radharani and her followers are loving Krishna. That is our main happiness, to see their happiness, their service, how Krishna is enjoying their service. So certainly they're unlimited living entities. We should not be envious of them. We should try to be aware of the fact that they also have a personal relationship with Krishna that pleases Krishna. And we should try to become their servants by becoming Krishna's servant, by becoming the senior devotee servants, the more expert devotee servants, and this way gradually make progress in becoming more and more expert at Krishna's service. So Sankirtan is a challenge, just like if there are not people coming by, then we should sing songs about Krishna in the airport. We should try and remember Parama Karuna Bhavadijana. We should remember verses or do something, occupy ourselves in Krishna's service. And if we see other devotees, they stop someone, you know, then sometimes we can even watch, but we should watch not. Ripping you off. You'll never understand the book. No, we should look at it and think, oh, how nice. This is a transcendental pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how this devotee is so nice engaging this innocent person in Krishna's service. Well, we should learn how this devotee is doing it. We should be enthusiastic and happy to see how others are actually getting the opportunity to go back to Godhead. We should be happy just to see that there are other devotees out there distributing these books, how this movement is actually going on. How the proof of it is that there are actually some Sankirtan warriors out there actually spreading this movement through this book distribution. So we should feel satisfied like that and pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we can be included in his army and give the transcendental benefit of being a frontline soldier. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
Yeah. I find my Sunday following to be
Well, just get over that one small problem and everything will be fine.
You have to read that. You read the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the second chapter. There's a whole section there about the ultimate duty and then the fear of the court for your reserve and everything. So we read this and then you should be attached again and now. So we know that the right of you, we know it.
Well, one thing is we don't even understand the extent of our attachment. It's just like sex desire. Sometimes if we don't think about sex life for a day, then we think, well, I've become a pure devotee. I'm practically a pure brahmachari. You know, I'm practically free from sex. Just because for a little while we're not thinking of it. And then the next day or the week later, immediately we become deluged with material thoughts. And we think, oh, I'm so fallen. So we sometimes become a little aware of the ocean of our attachments. And maybe they go away and we think, now I've become free from attachment. But actually there's a whole ocean. There's a whole, we may see the tip of the iceberg sometimes. So we have to be a little humble. And realize that, you know, we're going to have to go through different trials and tribulations and tests and, you know, different experiences. And sometimes, you know, gradually we'll make progress. But we shouldn't think that I'm a very advanced devotee now. And how is it possible that I have any attachment? We should think that by Krishna's mercy, I'm not overwhelmed by the unlimited attachments I have at this moment. But he's allowing me to do something, and then gradually become free a little bit at a time from the different attachments that I have.
What is manifest? What should be our mood? What should be our
thought? Well, here's an attachment. Here's another one of my unlimited attachments that are rising. And we should take shelter of Krishna. We should try and analyze it. Think, well, I'm actually fallen. And we should pray to Krishna, let me become free from this attachment. Let me understand things properly. But, according to scripture, according to Bhagavad Gita, according to these example and the instructions of other devotees, and then pray to Krishna, just please help me. So when we understand what our attachment is, then we can pray to Krishna, we can free from it. But if we don't even understand what it is, then we won't know what to ask Krishna for. Because we may pray sometimes, please, my dear Krishna, free me from my attachments, but we don't take it seriously. But if you know specifically that here's an attachment arising in my heart, or actually feeling the experience of it and the thoughts that come along with it, then we can very much more sincerely and feelingly pray to Krishna. When Krishna sees that we're actually serious about getting rid of this particular attachment, then he'll help us. So this is an opportunity to make advancement. By Krishna's mercy, the whole gamut of attachments don't generally overflood us at once. Just wash us away somewhere, out in the street somewhere. But one at a time, or a little bit at a time, Krishna reveals them. Therefore, we have the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. But Sankirtan is intense because so many attacks. Just like you can stay at the temple here, hang around, do a little service, eat the maha when it comes off, and go to sleep at night and think, things aren't so bad. It was warm today. There's plenty to eat. I got a chance to do a little reading and everything's all right. But you go and stand your time, you're standing out there, people, walking by, hardly anyone really appreciates you. You see other people, other devotees sometimes doing better than you are. So many things are going on. And sometimes it appears that you've been very unsuccessful, sometimes successful. But after all, it's a trial. And you go back by the end of the day, generally speaking, is that you become a little more aware of Krishna. By the trials and tribulations you have to go through. You become a little bit more expert, a little bit more aware of Krishna, sometimes humble, sometimes just floating in the ocean of ecstasy. So it's much more intense. So it's meant for those who really want to go back to Godhead, or at least don't want to be. Sometimes the devotees that go out there at the beginning, because they know they have to become purified because they're suffering so much from the modes of nature. Therefore, for the sake of becoming purified, they go out there. They bite the bullet, so to speak, every day. And then after a while, if they become purified, they think, well, I'm not so in anxiety anymore, and then they stop saying to them. But they don't realize that actually, if you keep on going, then the experience becomes more and more intense. And then eventually you get the capacity more and more to float in the ocean of transcendental remembrance, of transcendental consciousness of Krishna. By developing the ability to remember Krishna and things in relation to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness through practical experience. Not just by reading books, but by practical living them. Which is a much more intense experience, because it's a much more real experience than simply reading books and theoretically understanding. So if we want to know Krishna, we want to know what Krishna's service is, there's no better service. But it's not necessarily comfortable in some ways. In other ways, it is the most comfortable. There's no one comfortable in this material world. There's no situation that's comfortable. There's situations where you can work in such a way as you can fall into the mode of ignorance and become insentient, insensitive to what's going on. But if you don't want to be in the mode of ignorance or insensitive, you don't want to be in the mode of passion, really working hard to get some material result, the Sankirtan is very nice because you're right on the firing line. You're right with Krishna's, you know, fallen souls out in Kali Yuga, which is what this is all about. That's where we are. We're on the earth planet in Kali Yuga with, you know, huge armies, huge forces of Maya, practically wiped out the whatever devotion was remaining in people's hearts, practically was almost gone. And we're like the beachhead, you know, just trying to salvage whatever's left, fighting. So if we don't do that, then our whole society will get wiped out, just overflooded with Kali Yuga, or even our Krishna consciousness movement. Because if we're not going forward fighting for Krishna on the battlefield, then the result is that we all stay back at the temple and eat the maha, develop different psychological problems, mostly due to associating with the other ladies or men or whatever. Then we start counseling each other that it's not so bad. But eventually we become overflooded with Kali Yuga, with Kali Yuga mentality. Only we wear a dhoti for a little while, and then gradually it turns into a pair of pants most of the time. So unless there's devotees willing to actually, with some knowledge, willing to understand what we're doing, and then fighting on the battlefield, then our movement can't survive either. We'll be also conquered by the modes of nature. So this is the hope. You know, Prabhupada said this movement should go down and that it's actually saved material civilization in the midst of its darkest hour. And it's up to each one of us to try and make some effort in that way, even for our own spiritual survival. So if we have a little passion here and there, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be amazed if we don't feel any passion. Actually, we're so attached. The mode of nature is so strong. It's only out of foolishness we think that we're much more advanced than we actually are. We have no conception of what it means to be advanced. We can't even conceive what advanced is. We should just try and humbly do our service and try and constantly withdraw our senses from their objects. All right, try and constantly check our thoughts, that they actually confirm to scripture, that our activities confirm to the example of previous examples of more advanced devotees. That we actually have the proper mood and mentality. We should check. There's no better place to check than a sankirtan. Every moment there's a test and there's an opportunity to see if we're passing the test, if we're making progress, whatever. And if we're going to compete, we should compete. You know, sometimes competition can be there. But it should be in such a way that it's friendly competition. Competition should be with the mood of that everyone wins in this competition. And we should compete at what's reasonable. Not that, you know, I've just gone out there, you know, after a year or two or whatever, and now I'm suddenly competing against people who are much more expert than I am. And if I don't win, then I feel bummed out. So that sounds very good. That type of mentality. We should always check and make sure that I'm enthusiastic. Now if I'm not enthusiastic, it's because I have some material conception. I should pray that this material conception is eliminated. Krishna is giving the opportunity to become humble. But we shouldn't just become humble, we should also become learned, expert. The humility is beginning. Unless we're humble, we won't know, we won't what to do. Krishna won't give us the intelligence what to do to actually become an apt student, to learn from those who are more advanced. And therefore, if we only through learning from them, practically speaking, can we actually make advance in ourselves. So we all have to become students, and we can become, teach those others, but we should always remain students. We shouldn't think, when can I become simply the teacher? We should teach, and we should be students at the same time. Teach those who are less qualified than we are, and learn from those who are more qualified. And that goes on eternally. Anything else?
Well, part of the sentence is also that sometimes you think that devotees will judge you by your results. How do you overcome that?
Well, maybe they will judge you by your results. So what do you think? What does it have to do with you? So many people are going to judge you whether you have a result or not. Most of the problem is our material desires. Because we want to be known as a reputed devotee, an expert devotee. We want to actually become something other than Krishna's servant. So we're more worried about what others are going to see me as, whether I'm going to be able to derive some gross or subtle service from them, rather than thinking about how to serve Krishna. But if we're convinced that we're Krishna's servants, we want to be the servants of his servants, then what do we care? People should see. Then we'll think that people should see me as the lowest straw in the street. We're thinking I'm Krishna's servant and not everyone else's servant. And if we want to be something other than that, then we'll worry about it, what people think about us. And we won't worry about what Krishna and his devotees think about us. So it's not that just by theoretically understanding this, then automatically it goes away. But we should theoretically understand and then work on it, and gradually it'll go away, all these material conceptions we have. Gradually our hearts will become purified of these things. And then we'll see. One day, gradually I'll become more and more detached, less and less in anxiety, and therefore I'll become more and more blissful, more and more loving. Krishna. we should understand that we just want to enter into our service to Krishna, and that automatically means that we'll become expert. But what is that? What is that vision? It means that we'll see that everyone else is also Krishna's servant. And I'm not really the doer. But it's actually just by mercy of Krishna, spiritual master, and the other devotees, I'm able to enter into my relationship with Krishna. And by doing that, then there is results coming. But one of those results is that they're supposed to be employed so others can also become Krishna's servants. As I said, our main problem is our attachment towards the results and seeing our results in relationship to others. Whether I'm doing better or worse than the other devotees. So, what does it matter ultimately? Because it does matter. It does matter in the sense that we should try and do better and better. But that means we should try and become more and more Krishna conscious. Not more materially conscious, so we can do better than that. We want to become more Krishna conscious. And along with that, utilize his material intelligence, the way of doing things that Krishna will tell us how to do with the example of others, as long as it conforms to Krishna consciousness. Just like if you go out there, and you stand there, and you look at people, and you're afraid, you're anxiety, or you're speculating, you don't know whether you should approach them, or like that. So, then you see someone else who's going out there and going, sir, excuse me, and you see that they're stopping. So then you can watch and think, well, why did he stop and why if I asked him, he wouldn't stop? So make it into a meditation like that. What is holding me back from stopping people? It's like there's so many businessmen and they come by there. You go, sir, excuse me, and they all just run by. So if you watch the other devotees, you'll see that a lot of times they'll do the same thing. Businessmen just run by. So if you get frustrated, you know they don't stop because they don't stop for any of us. Because none of us is so expert that we can stop them. So if you think, if you become frustrated because they don't stop for you, then it's just foolish. Because even those who are more, just like Prabhupada gives the example, some big, big horses are trying to cross this river. They're all being swept away. And then one scrawny little horse came by the river and he was about to jump in and try and cross. Everyone laughed. Are you a fool? All these big horses, they just got swept away and they're going to try and cross. But you'll see that there's a certain class of people out there who stop. It may not, you know, sometimes it's businessmen, but, you know, generally just like, I'll try and stop businessmen, but it'll be a certain type of businessman. Generally it won't be the one who's impeccably dressed with all, you know, he looks like he's right out of a magazine. Although if there's no one else around, you know, then I'll even try or stop them. They're not like too old, they don't have like, they look like they just came from a battle. You know, let's say that, you know, they're the head of a cow slaughter industry or something. But there's a certain vibration, you learn that after some time. But certainly the younger people, sometimes you think, oh, here's a young hippie coming by, let me stop them. You think, oh, he'll be able to relate to me. And you say, give a donation, you go, I don't have any money. You think, oh, here's a perfect person, you go, yeah, man, he's fantastic. Thanks a lot for the book. You'll give a donation. I'm sorry, I don't have a dime. I don't have any money, man. You want the book back? I thought you were giving these out. You find out these guys are the ones who give you the hardest time. And then he gives you the book back. Oh, thanks a lot, man. You're all good for next time. And 5 minutes later, you see him walking to the store and buying a pack of cigarettes, you know. It means he didn't have any money for you. He has plenty of money for him now. So we shouldn't just be attached, you know. Even though it's not that we shouldn't try and stop the young people, we should, actually, those are our best customers. We shouldn't like get into the whole thing, you know, finally a young person came by, you know, he's going to save my day. And then we get so attached, you know, we talk to them, oh, yeah, man, it's fantastic. And then we think, oh, what a jerk, you know. And we start cursing the guy, and yeah, this day is a complete failure. I'm embarrassed, you know. I'm tired, embarrassed, hungry. No result. Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Me? Why am I suffering out here like this? So we should learn, you know, not be attached, you know, if someone sweet, if someone looks sweet and comes along and doesn't take, or even if he does take, because after all, you know, we can look enough young people, someone's going to come along. But we should try and learn the whole art, you know, how to do it. Start with the people we have a vision of that, how to relate to them. And then also learn from the other devotees, by, not just by asking them questions, but just by watching it, how they do it. Just, you can't learn it just by asking questions. You have to watch them doing it. It's not just a question and answer session. But if you watch, and then you can gradually, by actually paying attention to what they're doing, then you can come up with a meaningful question.
The main meditation on Buddha Krishna has to be the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And the main part of the philosophy is that everyone here, that I'm each person that I'm approaching, that this person is actually Krishna's eternal servant. And that this book will actually give this person the opportunity to learn who he is, who Krishna is, and what is the process by which he can revive his relationship with Krishna. That except for this book, and except for, this is the way, or the opportunity for this person to participate in Krishna consciousness. Other than that, his life is completely wasted time, trying to achieve it. So such a meditation, then the whole mood of Buddha Sushan changes. Why am I out here? What is my result going to be? If he takes the book, will I have one more book, one and a half more book points to add to my score so I can become famous? He'll give me some money so we'll have something to eat. Will you pay the rent? So the meditation changes from something temporary which produces anxiety within ourselves to something eternal, which convinces us completely about the necessity of the person taking the book for his own benefit. And that creates a certain attitude or consciousness within ourselves, which, if the person is a little pious, produces a certain consciousness within him by reciprocation, which Krishna within his heart says, here, take the book. It's a good thing. Reminds the person that this type of consciousness is actually very nice, and therefore the person takes the book. But except from that type of meditation, learn to meditate in that way, every other way of trying to do the book diffusion winds up to be rather dry in the long run. Even competition, which is in the beginning inspiring, that, you know, here's a person, here's a devotee who's just like me. He joined 3 months, you know, after I did, but he's now ahead of me. How can this be? You know, even that type of enthusiasm that it generates, or spontaneity, which people pick up on immediately, the fact that this person is actually enthusiastic, he's fearless, he actually wants me to take the book. But even that type of meditation, which is initially is good, but it won't allow one to go out day after day after day. Because after some time, one becomes a little purified. And one thinks, oh, if he wins the competition so much the better, I won't have to work so hard. And I won sometimes, he won sometimes. But we get the same prasadam every day anyway. So except for that type of deeper meditation of the purpose of why we're there, you know, what is the benefit for the person? What is my real transcendental benefit giving him the book? It's that type of meditation is the best type of meditation. And it actually, it changes the where we are from. We're in an airport, we're in a parking lot, you know, here's an old lady coming, here's a young boy coming, here's a businessman coming. It changes the meditation to something spiritual. Because it's doubtful that our stage, we want also to the different types of people that are coming to the different places we're in. But at the same time, from the background, that meditation is going on, what the transcendental vision to see things, then it actually makes what we're doing worthwhile, not only from the temporary, or the mundane, or the external point of view, but also from the transcendental point of view. And that brings us into, much more readily into contact with Krishna. And it's in contact with Krishna, that's the whole purpose of ultimately why we're going on the Sankirtan, the service to Krishna. Giving us the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. It's not that Krishna sent us into the material world. You see, he couldn't do it himself. He was relying on us. He's giving us the opportunity to become Krishna conscious through our service. So if we're not becoming Krishna conscious, then Krishna's not pleased, because when the service to us doesn't have so much meaning, then we're not reminded as much as possible. This is not just something external. Krishna consciousness is not something external. It may have its manifestation externally, but it ultimately is something internal. It's the attitude of service. Unless the attitude of service is there, then Krishna is not there in reality. He doesn't really manifest himself. So we're here only to become aware of Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. And we do that through our service to Krishna. So unless we're actually developing that attitude, why Krishna's not going to reveal himself, encourage us more and more. But finally one day we see Krishna, we're thinking, oh no, it's Krishna. It's the guy causing all the problems. He is God, this is terrible. Anyway, let's just develop an attitude of service first, and then he reveals himself second. Sometimes the point is that one has to be somewhat physically capable of carrying on the service, and mentally capable also. So, because we're not perfect in our habits, therefore sometimes physically and mentally we're going to become weakened. So, generally it's better to consider going out in a regulated way, the point of our capability, rather than trying to overextend ourselves for a short period of time and then disappear from the Sankirtan scene. So we have to take that into account. But sometimes there may be, you know, times when due to our past activities or due to some arrangement by Krishna, there's a particular disturbing time. You know, we see ourselves incapable of going on. So, but in general, we should try and organize ourselves in such a way that we go out steadily for a long period of time. It's better than going out making a big show for a short period of time. So if day after day I'm going out and I just, it's getting tougher and tougher every day, and I'm hoping Krishna will send someone along to disturb me so I don't have to go out for this day. But that's not very good. Christ wrote me one letter. He said, as long as the Sankirtan is going out an enthusiastic mood. That was one of the points he made. So if we're going out enthusiastic and we feel that I'm a little Krishna conscious, I chanted my rounds, my body is somewhat healthy, you know, I'm a little determined, I know what to do out there, we feel a little capable, and we'll be much more enthusiastic, you know, rather than, you know, I woke up, you know, I didn't chant my rounds, I feel sick, I don't even think I pick up the book, I don't even know what to tell these people, I don't even know why I'm here. Hey, excuse me, sir. You're not excused. Get away from me. I knew this was the wrong thing. So we have to be spiritually strong, physically strong, mentally strong. And then even in some deep, like the other day at the airport, we were doing the center now. So I was standing to one side where these Rouge people are. So the guy comes up and goes, "Get out of here." I said, "Who are you?" So he goes, "Get out of here." I said, "Who are you?" He said, "Get out of here, man. We're going to..." I said, "Who cares for you?" He said, "Let me see your bag." So I just went on distributing his break at my sales, wasn't so much a servant. Then he finally decided to curse. So he's like using every foul word that he could think of, calling us homosexuals and saying every nasty word for around 10 minutes. I said, "Who cares for you?" Then he just blew himself completely out. Then he disappeared from the table. He disappeared completely for the rest of the day. And I just went on distributing. I mean, it was disturbing. It was definitely disturbing, but I just kept on hitting, you know, approach. I wasn't so disturbed. I didn't approach. Kept on approaching people, and after a while, I wasn't disturbing anymore. I was actually disturbed. I wanted to make sure that this guy knew that people were going to buy books anyhow. It didn't matter what he did. So he just gave up and went on. I think we had to conquer the land there. So sometimes it's going to be disturbing. But if we're not so much weakened by it, we can just go on. And not so much to be so concerned. Like if you're a little disturbed and you approach someone, they become a little disturbed too. So not to get so hung up on it. Or they're just a little disturbed or not. They forget about it after a while. They become more conscious of the fact that they're disturbed than the fact that you're disturbed. But not to be so concerned. Like when I was sharing one book to one boy from Paraguay, all of a sudden Jagger was talking to this guy who was just yelling at the top of his lungs.
"You cheaters, you cheated me."
So the boy was like, he already bought the book, and he was like, "Looking, I'll be bewildered." I think, "What, am I supposed to explain it to him?" I said, "No, just let him alone." Because, you know, why should we be so defensive? Then I'm going to go, you know, explain that we're not cheaters, you know. We don't rip everyone off.
Sometimes it's good to know what you feel like, what you're achieving.
Well, it wasn't so much of a question. He wasn't disturbed according to what I had done to him so much. The fact that someone in the airport, right in the middle of the airport, police, you know, the guards running over, there's a big crowd around. "You cheater!" Sometimes we should explain, but the point is that we should be so concerned with every little disturbance that the karmis go through. The fact that, "Oh, I'm a little disturbed now, I'm not perfect in my presentation, therefore maybe I shouldn't present it because I don't want to disturb the karmis." Well, we should keep on going on, and after a while, our presentation will become more smoother. You know, it's not that by stopping, then our presentation will become more smoother. No, we just have to get free from our own anxieties, you know, own spiritual weakness, and then gradually everything will turn out right again.
I was talking to Prabhupada, so when he told me that when you go to the airport, you just open your book and start thinking the stages you want to see.
Yeah, like how the kids. It's also part of our philosophy. You know, where you're coming from. No kidding. Wow, I met a lot of nice people from there. You know, in brackets. They're all spiritual souls, according to my vision. Oh, you're from Egypt. Where am I from? Kefala.
Alhamdulillah, Sukran. It's also part of our philosophy. We're kind to all living entities. Now that you open the book, yeah, this book is about yoga.
Yoga against Allah.
That's not being very kind, though. Yeah, everything we do is part of our philosophy. If it's directed towards giving the person the book, because that is our philosophy. If you ask a person, you know, sometimes I'll ask them at the end, when after they've given a donation, how many children do you have? They go, well, I got 3 kids. Wow, you got a good family there, buddy. Because now that they've engaged in devotional service, we're about to, you know, their whole family has become blessed, all 3 of the kids. to get too much hung up into my conception of what the philosophy is, you know, what the philosophy is, that we have to explain it, you know, exactly what Krishna said. That's not exactly. If you had to give a class to the devotees like that, on only what Krishna said, not according to your own understanding, not relating it to the audience, you know, everyone would fall asleep immediately in the class. It wouldn't take 5 or 10 minutes for everyone to immediately go to sleep. Everyone, and even our Bhagavatam class, we're even discussing amongst ourselves, who just, you know, just, excuse me, Prabhu, you open the book and start reading. Now you relate to even other devotees according to who he is, according to what the circumstances are. What to speak of an ordinary person has no conception of what you're talking about.
I have an experiment. That's how I've been doing the boat camp. People are very nice, very friendly. And then when I go more deeper, you know, they are willing to give a donation, but I don't understand. I think they are very favorable, and I start speaking more deeper, and they
become completely bewildered. First, because they don't understand what you're talking about. Because you're preaching, describing the glory of the Lord to the unfaithful. In other words, as soon as you go above their level of comprehension, immediately you start seeing on the senses platform. So how many devotees walk around and talk about, oh Prabhu, did you hear about the different stages of Vibhava? You know, how it turns into Anubhava, you know, you understand that. That's right, there's V yoga and some yoga, you know, it depends on what state of ecstasy you're on. Yeah, sure, brother, don't worry about it. So we don't do that either. You know, we try and describe, you know, even in the best, we try and describe Krishna consciousness according to the level of the devotee's understanding, not according to our level of understanding. Prabhupada, he didn't start out explaining to people, oh yeah, welcome to the, you know, 26th Second Avenue. Today we'll discuss about Srimati Radharani's highest ecstasy. You know, they don't even know who Srimati Radharani is. What are you talking about? Prabhupada didn't discuss like that. He discussed in terms of consciousness at first. This is about the supreme consciousness. You know, the terminology people at that time could understand. So we should follow the same thing. Many conversations probably never even describe that we're not just body to it. Even very educated people in these fields describe the Vanashram Dharma. You know, how you're supposed to meet an ideal leader. Like in America, you know, if you tell people, this is a book about how to become an ideal person, an ideal leader, how we need an ideal leader. You know, people can relate to that. You know, America is the leader of the world, but you know, nowadays we don't have ideal leaders here. So this is a book about how to become a perfect person, how to become ideal. But if you say, yeah, this is about this is about Krishna. You know, he's so great that all the universes, he displayed his mother, he just opened his mouth. You know, some people get off on it, you know, especially those on drugs.
Yeah, I saw the same thing, you
know. But most other people wouldn't know what you're talking about. But you can describe something, you know, which they can relate to and those you benefit. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks to the jnani, he talks to the karmi, he talks to the yogi, he talks to the bhakta. And anyone can read the Bhagavad Gita and derive benefit from whatever platform they're on. Krishna has verses for the karmis, for the yogis, for the jnanis, for the bhaktas. So even the Indians, they say, karman yeva dikayate, ma palesha kadachana, ma pala karma hetva vura, ma tesam nisa karmani. So you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the result of action. Either consider yourself the cause of the action, or be attached to not doing your duty. So for the karmis, you know, this is an ideal thing. You know, you should do your duty, but just offer your results and become attached to the results. But that's not the highest platform of consciousness, not to be attached to results and to do your duty. You know, telling someone to IBM, right? You should perform your job in IBM, but just don't be so hung up from what happened. You know, that's not the highest level of consciousness. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, and someone who reads that, they'll get that, if he's a karmi, they'll get some benefit from it. So these books will talk to people according to what level they're at. It's not that if we don't say something, they want to, you know, they won't get any benefit by reading the book. Not that you should lie to the person. You know, what kind of work do you do? I collect bees. I'm kidding. This book is all about bee collecting. Read it. What kind of bees do you collect? No kidding. Wow. This is exactly what the book talks about. Not that we should go to an extreme, you know, and tell some of the people that later on they'll be completely disappointed. You know, this is about bee collecting. What language is it in? It doesn't really matter so much what we say to a person, it's how we say it. I mean, what we know is secondary. So, even I know something, a lot of times I don't even bother saying it because I don't want to get too much into a conversation with the person. Because that was a distraction from the point that I want a donation from him so he can take the book. So I don't go into it. You know, afterwards, maybe you can mention something. But any of these long drawn out conversations just turn out to be a little mundane. But then it's best to just say what we know. But as far as specifically reading a book for Sankirtan, calling a newspaper or a magazine, it's just like a waste of time.
Well,
I'm
trying to take my lead on it. Talk to the person, try to understand their level of comprehension.
Well, you find out in about 5 after doing Sankirtan for an hour. You see, anyone who comes out in Sankirtan, you find out that 90% of the people in the material world, or 99%, are slaves. They have no idea what's going on at all. They have no conception. The only thing they know is their job, where they're going, how many kids they have, who their wife is, what country they come from. I mean, that's all they know. And if you go beyond that, you know, they become bewildered, they become a little confused. That's 99%. And the other 1%, you know, you can say something, but they're not so impressed anyhow. They think they know, if they know so much, they think they know more than you do. They probably do. So most people, excuse me, sir, I'm from Chicago, where are you from? They go, well, I'm from Turkey. Merhaba, I only know Turkish. That's 90% of the sale right there. You know, so I learned how to say hello in Turkey. And then you show them, you know, keep this book with you. All the critics praise it. Use it at all the universities around the world. What kind of work do you do? Well, I'm a carpenter. Well, here's a book that tells you that there's more life than working 9 to 5 for a headache, correct? So yeah, well, good. Give it a read. And, you know, we're volunteer teachers. We're helping people suffering around the world through education. And everyone just gives a donation to help. We give a donation to help. And that's it. Anything more than that, you know, as soon as you start getting off the topic, then immediately their consciousness flows and they hand you back the book and go, can you give a donation now? Even they agree with you, they're not interested in the book. From my personal experience, the quicker you get to the line of the donation, the better it is. And then you find out who you're actually dealing with. If you, anything more than like a minute and a half, most people, is like too long. And then afterwards, if the person's actually nice, because when you go give a donation, you start finding out if they understood anything you said, especially if they know what the word donation means. Which usually they understand everything else except the word donation. Then you go, when they're Arabs, they go, plus! God, he knows the word. They go, what do you mean? How did you learn this word? Plus. Need money. Give some plus. And then they have a little smile, and they go, well, I'm not really interested. And they go, how much? I need you a dollar.
Maharaj, instead of getting the donation from the book, that, you know, the person is, he can afford more, you know, like some people can afford five, maybe less, some people, you know, can afford 20, then we should ask for, you know, to any of the books, the things in complaining, and we just ask for the donation too.
It depends upon your consciousness, but if you, the person takes out his wallet, you see he has $6 in his wallet, you go, most people get 20. Good luck. He's going to take my last $6. I had $1 here to win. Maybe he'll ask me to trace my pockets, hope to turn out my pockets. You have to be a little perceptive, you know. If you see that, you know, the guy has $7 and I just asked for $6 and I just asked for 20, and the guy goes white. And he can give you the book back, I'm not really sure. Then you might say, you know, I can give a few dollars to help. But on the other hand, if you hesitate, the person takes out his wallet, and you hesitate because you're a little nervous, you know, last guy, I asked him for 10, he put his wallet back, and like, maybe if I do the same thing with this person, then he'll put his wallet back, and I'll tell him anything all day. So you go, well, you know, just do whatever you want. And he goes, well, here's a couple of dollars. Oh, can you give a little bit more? It goes to around 7 to friend. Oh, you just asked for 2. Can you give one more? All right, I'll give you one more. And he thinks, oh, no, for the rest of the day, I'm going to be struggling to get $3 from everyone. So you have to be a little, you know, develop a more of the habit of being perceptive and judging. But seeing people because, you know, some general category. You know, if a person immediately goes for his wallet and you ask for a donation, he doesn't hesitate. Then you can immediately say, of course, 7 to print, you know, most people give 20. And if a person, you know, is a wholesale, is a struggle, and he takes out his wallet, and he opens it up and he has like $20 in his wallet, then you know it's the time to ask for less. You know, it costs 5 to print, most people give 5. It's got to be a little bit perceptive in what's going on. That's like, it's all a machine. You know, it's like we're just grinding the bookshelf. And anyone doesn't fit into our machine just gets rejected, just gets thrown off. We have to be more perceptive. And that's the beauty of this book distribution, is that you can actually become very conscious of what's going on. And then in the background, if you're really trying to help people become Krishna conscious, then you use that consciousness, that intelligence that Krishna's giving for their benefit. And you act appropriately and get the maximum service from everyone with the minimum amount of disturbance.
Sometimes when we see that person in Dallas today, and we know that they are talking about us, and we know it's negative. So, but one way or the other, we have to stay there because we don't have any choice. We should approach these people and call them. There is a book that we should respect.
Well, if you see crowds gathering and they're picking up change. They're talking negatively. you know, and they're looking in our way, and they're pretty mean. We might consider moving to another spot. Other than that, you know, crowd gathers and they're talking negative. Oh, what are you going to do? You go over, hey, look, man, we're not such bad guys. Oh, yeah, why? You know, we don't rip everyone off. I mean, we're selling these books about God. Ah, that's what I told you, these guys. These guys are into God. Well, you have to be, sometimes you have to be a little tolerant, sometimes you have to be willing to go away. And it's a bit, you know, it's a little dangerous. Or if someone's going around breaking up your sales, you think, I'm just going to show, it's going to be an ego conflict between myself and this person. You know, unless there's some other purpose. You know, if you're going to be out there every day with a guy, just like in the airport here, if you're going to be out there every day with these people, so if you give in, then every other day you have to give in too. So that's a different thing. You have to use your intelligence. But how often do people gather to talk about us? You know, it's like pretty rare.
Well, in the airport where I'd be sitting, it's some work that they gather together every day at 12 o'clock to 1 and sometimes 2 o'clock.
Well, it must become purified. Devotees don't even gather at 1 anymore. Maybe it's 1 o'clock. It's hard to get the devotees to gather at 1 o'clock. So if the commies gather at 1 o'clock, talk about Krishna, that's very
obscure.
It's very hard to bring people together at 11 o'clock for the meeting. Will you stop then? Do you have to go now? You stay here a little bit longer now, is the time enough to tell? Guru Prabhupada,
Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna,
Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri
Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna,
Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Jai Shri Krishna,